Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. If the devil's fighting this much, you better listen close. If I had to go through four microphones in the first couple of minutes of this message before I even started the message, listen close. Amen? Listen very close. So audacity meant to be unique and to be bold. And power references that there's an ability to do things, ability to move, and in this case, to move on behalf of someone else. To have delegated authority. You have power because you have a delegated authority. So what has been given to us through the blood of Jesus Christ as believers is the authority of Christ put on our lives. But we want to look closer at what this refers to. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we know that Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, and what he told them was, he said, I love the fact that you pray. He said, I've heard about your prayers for the saints. I've heard about your love for the saints. I've heard about your faith in operation. I've heard all those things about you. But now, I want to pray for you, giving thanks for you, but also I'm praying that your eyes be open. Because you've done some great stuff, but you haven't seen nothing yet. You've done exceptional things. I'm giving God thanks for what you've done so far, but you just have not yet gone to the next level. There's another level in faith that our churches have not been to yet. There's a level of faith that we have not walked in yet. There's a level of faith that we haven't even grasped yet. And Paul was praying that our eyes be open to this whole new dimension. The eyes of your understanding be flooded with light, that the Father of glory, that he would give to you a spirit of both wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Eyes of your understanding be flooded with light. Tell your neighbor, I'm praying for a flood in your eyes. Come on now. I'm praying for a flood in your eyes. I'm praying that your eyes be flooded with light. Now, why was Paul telling this? Because Paul had had an experience. Paul was a Pharisee. He had had an experience with religion. He was highly religious, so religious that he was persecuting Christians for. He felt like they were skewing Judaism. They were messing Judaism up. They were coming against Judaism. So he persecuted them so much so he would take people, bring them on trial, and actually see them be put to death. And all was cool with Paul until he threw Stephen. He picked the wrong one. And when Stephen is being killed for being a Christian, Stephen, the deacon, is standing there looking up to heaven while they're throwing stones at him saying, Father, forgive them. I see Jesus. I see Jesus. You're murdering somebody for following Jesus, who you believe is dead, and the man you're killing is saying, I see him. But you know what Paul did? Father gathered up the stuff, he got on his horse, and he rode to the next town. See, sometimes you preach the word to somebody, and the word of God hits them, and they act like it didn't happen. They act like they haven't heard what you said. They act like they don't want to believe what you said. But you know what? You're not the author of the word. God is. So you can send somebody on their horse riding away, but you know what? They'll get so far, and one day they'll be like Paul. That light will come down on them, and the eyes of their understanding will get flooded with light. Paul said, a light came down us. The light that came on us was brighter than the sun. The sun is the brightest thing we know. But Paul said it was brighter than that. If you stare at the sun, you turn your head and you will see a gold ring for a day and a half. It will etch. Listen close. It will etch itself into your eyes when you see it. When you look at it and you really, if you stare at the sun, it will paint itself on your eyes. And when you stop looking at it, you can't stop seeing it. And that's what the gospel does. if you really look into the gospel, if you really look into the fact that Jesus has died for your shortcoming, he's died for your sin, he's died for who you are, when you really look at it, it burns into your eyes. And no matter where you turn, you can't get away from it. You can't get away from it because it follows you wherever you go, because it's so strong, it will carve itself into you. That's why people don't want you telling them stuff. That's why people don't want you talking to me about that. Because they know if they start listening, and they start listening long enough, it's like looking at the sun. If you look at it long enough, it's going to get you. And when it gets you, it's not going to leave. Because when you walk away, you're still going to see it. That's what the gospel does. So Paul was saying, I'm praying that your eyes will be open. And then he led us to three questions. He said, I'm praying that your eyes will be open to question one, that you would understand the hope of God's calling on your life. You would understand God has a call for your life. You're not just drifting in life. God has a calling for who you are. The second thing is that you would know and understand the abundance of treasure which he has hidden in the saints. In other words, there's a potential in people. People have an abundant treasure in them, and you may not even realize it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think you're full of treasure. There's an abundance of treasure. Every person is filled with a potential because there's a treasure inside of us. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of the power that comes out of us may be of God and not of us. That treasure is potential. It is a potential. It is what has in you that has not yet been manifested through you. That's why when Paul got knocked off his horse, all he heard was a voice. God didn't have to show up. Y'all gonna get that in a minute. God didn't have to come out of heaven and deal with Paul. God sent his spirit. And when his spirit hit Paul, that's all that was required. And when he got hit and he saw the light, there was nothing else required. Then he just received instructions in his ear. And then his only job was to obey. And when he moved and he obeyed God, God removed the scales from his eyes, caused him to really see. And he became what we know as the Apostle Paul, when he was just a religious person. Let's read this together. You can look up and see it on the screen. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who what? According to the working of his mighty what? Which he worked in who? When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Let's read it all together one more time. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. According to his mighty power, which he showed or wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So Paul's prayer, that third question, was what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? What is the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us who believe? Now, we can read this and just kind of gloss over it, but I want us to really meditate today about this very issue. And we're talking, and we've kind of phrased this as audacious power. What is the exceeding greatness? Exceeding goes past whatever was before. And greatness is the volume of what it is. So the exceeding greatness of God's power toward me, because I believe. Let's say that. God has exceeding greatness toward me because I believe. See, the question is, will we receive the word of God? The question is, will we receive the word as truth? Will we accept this truth from God? That God has given us a question that, as far as purpose is concerned, as far as potential is concerned, and as far as power is concerned, you're going to need to have it revealed to you because you won't understand it with your natural mind. So the very first thing to understand is that whatever you're capable of doing humanly in your own strength, that's great. Because that's what Paul said. He said, I heard about your faith and I heard about your love for the saints. You've been doing that in your own strength, and that's awesome. But I'm telling you, there's a bigger, greater thing. I'm telling you, there's a deeper revelation of who God is than what you know. I'm telling you that there's a place in Him that you can go into that will cause you to understand your purpose in a new way. That you're not looking at your purpose being your job or how you use your gifts, but you're looking at, God has an eternal purpose on my life. God has an eternal purpose on my life. I am here for a reason, and the reason is past human comprehension. As a matter of fact, I may never even understand it. God's purpose for me, the potential I have, is past my understanding. My capability is past my understanding because it's not just natural ability, it's supernatural ability. It's the supernatural ability of God that can manifest through me at any time. I am not a fortune teller, but multiple times I have seen somebody and known stuff about them I'm not supposed to know, that I don't have any human way of knowing. But God revealed it to me. What's He doing? He's working His power. He's using a potential in me that I can't manipulate and I can't make work on my own. But He's doing the work. So that when I speak and told somebody this thing that I'm not supposed to know, it changed their life. Because God was talking to them. There was a man that visited our church a couple of weeks ago, and he told me, he said, man, I was sitting in a restaurant eating my food. He said, I was minding my own business, and I looked up, and there was a lady staring at me. He said, I kept trying to look away from her, but she kept on staring at me. And then he said, then she came over, and we started fellowshipping, and then she spoke and told me about my twin children that I didn't tell her I had. He said, then she told me to come to the church, so I came. Amen? Amen. Amen. Guess what? It was one of your brothers and sisters that was speaking the word. It's one of your brothers and sisters sitting here that was speaking a word to somebody. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you this is not foreign. I'm telling you it's in your midst right now. That this is not just something Paul wrote 2,000 years ago and we say, oh, that's cool, but that's not how life really is right now. No, that's how life is right now. Right now, God has a power and ability available to all who believe. Jesus. All right. That's last week. Let's get this week. Audacious power is God revealing Christ's resurrection power. Okay, let's bring that passage back up. I want you to see it in the Word. Let's go to verse 20. So this was according to God's mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The power that Paul was telling people, the church of Ephesus, that he was praying for them to see, was he was praying for them to see Christ's resurrection power. He said, I'm praying that you see this resurrection power. Now, what's resurrection power? When a man dies and the life is out of him, and they wrap him up and put him in a tomb, and put a stone in front of the tomb, and put guards in front of the stone. And 3 days later, there's an earthquake, and they look, and he's gone, and his clothes are folded. He didn't just get up and what? He stood there and folded up the clothes and laid them down. He said, I'm praying for you that your eyes be opened to the same kind of power that made him get up out of that grave, fold his clothes, and walk past. See, we're measuring our human problems based on our human abilities. We're measuring our human issues based on our human capacity. We're measuring our problems based on human understanding. We're measuring our problems based on what we know, what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell. We base all of our problems and their potential solutions on what we see. We're basing them on what our senses tell us. But Paul said, that's great, but there's more. There is more. God wants to move us to a place, and he has given us Christ and his Spirit in order that we would know. We would know, understand things that are past our abilities. My human problem is I talk too much. My human problem is that when I see something, I have a relatively sharp mind, and I can interpret it, and I can think I understand it. But everything I see, I don't understand. So I have to slow myself down and not respond to everything by my human understanding. But if I can learn how to slow down and listen, I will receive understanding, and my eyes of understanding will be open in a moment to know what to do and what not to do. But the thing that clouds us is emotions and things that get in the way that causes us to quickly react when we should be listening. Now, your faith is revealed in your expectations. Your faith is revealed in your expectations. When you have an expectation, that expectation reveals where your faith is. So if God speaks a word and says, I am God, and I'm able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ask or think about. And you say, that's awesome, but I'm thinking about doing this. Or when you say, thank you, Lord, for blessing me, and now I'm going to do what I want to do. So I give this example, and I keep giving it because God's delivering me of it, and God's getting ready to do a miraculous work, and I'm speaking it out because I'm ready to be audacious. So when me and Tammy were young and we started having kids, we had one. 14 months later, we had another one. And 2.5 years later, we had another one. Got 3 of them, right? Praise God. They're all together. Cool. It was all cool until they got to college. And when they got to college, and all 3 of them were going to school, you know what I'm saying, brother? You look like you know what I'm saying, brother. It's all cool until then. So I'm calculating. I said, okay. Okay, this is the package they offer in the first one. Okay, well, got two more coming. Okay, we're going to take this student loan and this student loan and this student loan. So we take, you know, because now they're so shrewd now, they put loans on the kids and loans on the parents. Amen? But you know, you're a parent. So you're going to pay some cash, and you're going to take some loans, and you're watching how much cash you got, and then you're watching, you know. So you take a loan. Okay, here's the other one going to school. Okay, don't need a loan for this one. Okay, that's cool. Okay, third one comes. Okay, oh man, I need a loan for this one. Okay, got the loan. And then one day, I said, I'm not taking not one more. I've hit saturation point. I'm not taking not one more. So as soon as I said that, you know what happened? As soon as I said it, the enemy said, use a lie. You're going to take another one. I said, I'm not taking one more. Now, I'm speaking out of my own natural understanding. But now that I spoke, I got to go to the Word. I should have went to the Word first. But I just spoke out of emotion. But it just happened to be that there's a Word to back me up. And I went to the Word, and the Word said, the borrower is the slave of the lender. I said, oh, yeah. I said, that's true. And I said, I ain't trying to be no slave. God don't want me to be a slave. But then I read a word that said, he whom the Son sets free shall be made free indeed. I said, okay, praise the Lord. The Lord's with me. He set me free. I don't have to be a slave. I'm not taking no more loans. So what do? I start confessing. But then now, here comes tuition. What you going to do? You going to say yes or you going to say no? It's easy to say yes because it's been laid before you. But what are you going to do? Are you going to stand or are you going to move? Now, unless you stand on the Word, you're going to stand somewhere else. And wherever else you stand besides the Word is only going to reinforce your emotion. So I had to stand on the Word. And then I had to stand on the Word every semester that came after that. Because standing on the Word today don't change standing what you got to do tomorrow. Because you can stand in faith today and then go do what you did before. So you got to stand and then keep standing. Amen? Now I'm talking about this in money. Now what is so supernatural about that? What's so supernatural about that is when I thought I could not, I have not had to. Nothing changed. It wasn't no raise. As a matter of fact, we took a pay cut in the middle of it. But God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly toward who? Us who believe. So the shape and put our faith in the right perspective requires that number one, you hear, and then number two, once you hear, you put it in your heart. Go to Proverbs 3:23. Proverbs 3:23. Now, God has this power. He wants to work in all of us who believe. Amen? But the problem is this. Where does faith come from? Faith comes hearing the Word, right? But once you hear the Word, where does your hearing go? Once it goes in the ear, where's it going? It's in your mind, right? Once you hear something, it goes into your mind. Once it's in your mind, it's swirling around in your mind. Now what? Now that it's in your mind, there's all kinds of thoughts in your mind. But some thoughts go past your mind and they settle into your heart. Amen? Being the soul of man. Man's spirit, soul, and body, right? So you hear in a physical sense. It goes in the ear. That's physical. But once it comes inside, it's no longer physical. Now it's something else. Words are embodiments of concepts or ideas. They only are shadows of whatever exists in reality. So when a word is spoken, that word embodies certain things. And it has a power in which it was created in order to move from one place to do something wherever it lands. And so when something comes in your ear, when you hear the word goes in your head, it swirls around in your head until it gets placed into your heart. And how does it get into your heart? You have to deliberately put it there. Now, look at this. Proverbs, what did I say, 23? I want to go to Proverbs 4 and 23. I'm sorry. Proverbs 4 and 23. Let's start there at 20. Let's read the whole thing. Look out. Here we go. Write that down, but look it up. My son, give attention to what? My words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from where? Your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Let's stay right here. Hearken to my words. Hearken to my words. Keep them in front of your eyes. Put them in your heart. When you get them there, they'll be life to you. When the words are placed into your heart, they'll become life to all that find them. So again, it's selective. Who finds it? Who grabs it and puts it there? And it'll be held to their flesh. So not only will it deal with your heart, it will deal with your body. Getting the word in your heart will actually change your physical body. Now, next verse. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. All the issues of life, they spring forth from what is in your heart. So you're to keep or to guard your heart with all diligence. In other words, you have to be conscious and diligent about protecting what goes into your heart, because out of your heart come the issues of your life. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Verses 34 through 37. Write them down. You can look up because we're going to move quick. Okay. Brood of vipers. Jesus talking to the Pharisees. Brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? If you're evil, how you going to talk good? For out of the abundance of the mouth speaks. Whatever's in the heart in abundance, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. That's why you got to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your mouth is going to come the issues of your life. What comes out of your mouth is going to affect the rest of your life. It's going to affect everything. Whatever's in your heart in abundance, whatever you allow to get there, whatever you allow to land there, that thing, whatever it is, it's going to shape your life. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Verse 35. A good man. Turn to your neighbor and say, a good man and a good woman. Now turn to your other and say, a good man or a good woman. Out of the good treasure of their heart brings forth what? Whatever's in the treasure is what you're bringing out. Whatever's in the treasure is what's coming out. A good person, out of the whatever the treasure that's in you, that's what's going to come out of you. Now, when I was angry person, when I had anger down in me, then guess what? Everything sounded angry. Even when I said hello, it sounded angry. If it's down in here, whatever comes out, that's how it's coming out. Because out of the treasure of your heart is where things are going to flow. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart come the issues. The Hebrew word for issues means boundaries. Out of your heart, draw the boundaries of your life. In other words, how far you can go in life is in your heart. And it's coming out of your mouth. So, when I grew up, I grew up in Oakland. How do I say this? Okay, I'll just say it plain. So there's all of us that live in the flatlands, and then there's people that live in the hills, right? Y'all with me? All right, y'all with all my Oakland people, say amen.
Amen.
All right, there's those of us that live in the flatlands, and then there was folks who lived in the hills. So in the flatlands, there's a certain, you know, you live in the flatlands. And then there's those people who live up there. So my parents thought it was a good idea to send me to a school where there was a lot of those that live up there. Above 580. Yeah, it ain't in the hills. It's above 580, right? It's a whole nother problem. So I go to the school up there. And even now, as a grown man, I was at work and somebody said, oh, where'd you go to school? I said, I went to the name of the school I went to. And they went, oh, you went there. Now, listen close. I went there. And then I graduated and I went through my life. Years later, I'm going to go to college. I want you to listen very close. Matter of fact, I have my bachelor's degree and I did some research. And I saw a master's degree at Stanford. So I said, okay, I'm going to apply for this program. I call them. I talk to them on the phone. I get my paperwork fully completed. And then I didn't send the application. Y'all listening to me? Because in my heart was a boundary. And that boundary I could not cross. I'm grown. I'm working. I have no barriers whatsoever, except in my heart. And so here I am, qualified by the standards they have written, talk to the people, and I didn't send the application. Then the director of the program called me and said, hey, I've been looking for your application. Where is it? I'm going to send it. Because in my mind, I want to send it. But in my heart, I got a boundary. And my boundary is, I'm not a Stanford guy. I can't go to Stanford. I just barely got out of high school. I can't go to Stanford. Stanford? I couldn't get past it. Because out of your heart come the issues of your life. Out of your heart come the boundaries of your life. And so it became a boundary that I couldn't cross. But then the Holy Spirit showed me where the boundary was. By then, I had already moved on and done something. But it revealed something. It revealed something to me concerning being able to walk in power. Because being able to walk in power predicates that you believe. But in your heart are boundaries that if you don't confront and deal with the boundaries, then you will, in your mind, know that you have power, but in your heart, never live it out. Because out of your heart comes the issues of your life, not out of your mind. There's a lot of smart people who have boundaries in their life, and the boundary is established by Satan. It is bound and it is created by demonic forces that keep those boundaries there so that when you try to cross those boundaries, you can never see yourself crossing them. Zacchaeus is in a tree seeing Jesus pass by. He's not trying to get Jesus. He's just trying to climb up in the tree and see Jesus. Jesus has to come to him and say, come down. I'm going to eat with you today. He has to call him out of the tree. Now he has a choice. He could say, I'm a tax collector. I'm not supposed to eat with Jesus. I'm not supposed to do that. He can talk about why he should not, or he can obey the voice of Jesus and come down and sup with him. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that the church, we love each other, and we've been praying, and we've been doing great things, but there's more, and some of the more has been escaping us because we have boundaries in our hearts that we're not ready to cross. Because there are boundaries in our heart that when God says, I'm giving you audacious power, I'm giving you authority, I'm giving you ability, I'm giving you power, I'm anointing you, I'm giving you every spiritual blessing, I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh, I'm intentional. All things work together for those who love me and those who are called according to my purpose. All those things that the word says, some of us are struggling with accepting those because the boundary is there. Because of the boundary. Out of our heart comes the boundaries of our life. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, not of his mind, of his heart. What's in his heart, he's going to bring forth out of that treasure. Whatever the treasure is in my heart, whatever's in my heart in abundance, that's what's going to come out of me. That's what's going to flow out of me. And if I'm not getting what I want, then I need to go back, come back to my heart, and I need to tear some things down. I need to tear some things down. Ooh, Jesus. Revelation from God will set an expectation in our life. But the expectation will be filtered by the boundaries. So God can reveal things about you, but the boundaries can then still stop you from walking into those things. Know you're anointed. Know you're called. Know you got good things. You know God has put a word in your spirit. You're ready to talk, ready to speak it, but the boundary is stopping you from going forward. I'm trying to tell you today, you can eliminate the boundaries. You can tear these strongholds down. Amen? You're going to tear them down. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm getting ready to tear some stuff down. Come on. Go to Mark 11. Mark 11. We'll start at Mark 11, 23 and 24. We're talking about audacious power today. Audacious power is bold power. When you're given authority, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Right? That's what he told his disciples when he was going to heaven. So in Mark chapter 11 here, when Jesus has cursed the fig tree and his disciples are all, wow, master, we can't believe that fig tree you cursed is laying down. It's dried up from the roots. Look what he says. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his, what? But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I want you to look very closely at this passage. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And the word, the Father, is nowhere in sight. I want you to meditate on that. The Father is nowhere in sight. What Jesus says is that if whoever, not the special ones, not the different ones, not the ones in a certain office, not the ones in a certain position, whoever. So we're smashing religion right now. Whoever. Whoever. Whoever will say to this tree, or this mountain in this case, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, and believes. If he believes in his heart, if he deals with whatever the boundaries in his heart are, he gets those boundaries out of the way, whatever he speaks to, it's going to respond. And it's not the Father. It don't have nothing to do with that. Whoever will say and believe. That's why when we're reading Paul praying, he said that you might have your eyes open to see and understand what is this exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. See, having power is a matter of having faith. But faith has been trivialized. So people say, I'm a person of faith. No, you're not. You're a person who believes some things. But a person of faith is one who has put their trust in him. A person of faith is one who is able to say, you know what? I've been delegated authority, and I'm willing and audacious enough to act on the authority I've been given. So the consultant, I'm not giving him what he wants. Not because I'm trying to be difficult, but because I've been given authority and I can handle this. I can handle this. Why? Because I know what my boundaries are. See, what the Holy Spirit is trying to give us. Remember last week, we read 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, said, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an anointing on your life. The Spirit of God is on you to show you all things, to make all things clear to you, to make all things of understanding to you, that you can hear, you can receive, you can have understanding. And so what we're adding on to it now is this understanding. You can talk to stuff. Your words have power. Your words have so much power that you can talk to stuff, and when you believe, when your words coming out of your mouth are coming out of the belief in your heart, you can speak and things will respond. You can test it tomorrow when you go to work. And I guarantee it will work. You can go into your work environment and in your heart determine, today, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Today, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And tonight, if you take that and you just say it tonight, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you pull out your Bible and you look at it and you say, man, praise God, I'm reading here. Father, I thank you that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Woo, man, Lord, I thank you that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And then when you get up tomorrow morning, pull it out again. Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I guarantee you, if you do that tonight and you do that tomorrow morning and you throughout the day continue to do that, you will go and change the atmosphere where you are. I guarantee if you get it in your heart and you walk any environment, you will change the atmosphere of the environment. But once you change the atmosphere, those that benefit from the atmosphere will try to shut you down. And they'll come after you. And next thing you know, if you're not continuing to declare and to say and to use your words, their words will get in your heart. And then you go, man, today is a terrible day. Why? Because this is called spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is really ultimately not about wrestling with devils. Spiritual warfare is the good fight of faith. Spiritual warfare is the ability to maintain your faith even when the enemy comes into your environment. Spiritual warfare is the ability to stay on the word even when the enemy's trying to get you to get off. That's why when Jesus is going out into the wilderness, fasting for 40 days, and the devil comes to him, the only thing Jesus fights the devil with is to give him the word of God right back to him. You've been out here 40 days. I know you're hungry. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Guess what? Listen, you're going through all this to get power. If you go up, jump, I'll take care of it. Since God has already promised his angels are going to take care of you, just jump. He gave him the word back. He didn't get into an argument with the devil. He didn't try to cast the devil out. He didn't go through all that. What he did, he just said, no, I know who I am. I'm going to walk on this. I'm going to stand on the word. My identity, who I am, my potential, everything's on the word. It's not based on my conversation with you. It's based on what God says about me and who God says I am. Oh, let's go. Verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, very important here, when you pray, stop praying about your problems. Now, stop praying about your problems. What am I supposed to pray? You pray the answer. Don't pray about your problems. Because every time you're confessing the problem over and over again, what are you doing? You're strengthening the problem. You need to start declaring the answer. Start speaking the answer. Where do you got to go? I got to go to the Word and find the answer. That's why the Bible, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is your source of answers. We just sometimes have been taught that if just reading the Bible is just this spiritual thing just to do, just got to read my Bible every day. No, go to the Bible. Get some answers in your life. Find some things in your Bible. Find out what the Bible says about being broke. Find out what the Bible says about being wounded. Find out what the Bible says about being in grief. Find out what the Bible says about struggling in life. Find out what the Bible says about demonic oppression. Find out what the Bible says about the things that you're dealing with, and then get those things and declare God's word and let yourself be changed. Don't be conformed to the world system, but be transformed by your renewing of your mind. Change how you're thinking so that something different is in your heart. Whatever you hold firm in your mind is going to settle in your heart. Last passage. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Can't finish today, so Hebrews chapter 11. Now, while you're turning there, I want to call something to your attention. While you're turning there, four times this phrase is used in the Bible. Three in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, the last part of the passage says, the just shall live by faith. They shall live by faith, right? Okay? The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. The book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, so then the just shall live by faith. The book of Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Multiple times the same phrase is used, the just shall live by faith. It's a theme, it's a message. Audacious power is predicated on faith. To be audacious in power means that you have to operate in faith. Faith is, Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is weighted by your hope. Substance, weight. It's weighted by your hope. It's evidence of things that you spiritually know but can't see. It's not just invisible things. It's things you spiritually know, but you can't see them. In other words, my faith is this is a church with 10,000 people in it. And I see it. I see it. And I'm audacious enough with 90 people sitting in the room to say that. Because I already seen it. I saw it 20 years ago. I saw it before there was a church. I already seen it. And because I've seen it, now it's up to me to either deal with the boundaries or to say it and see it and move in it. Or move past the boundaries, or extend the boundaries, or allow God to say, you know what, son, I have an exceeding greatness of power that I want to reveal to you. And your mind ain't going to get it. You can't see this with your mind. You're going to have to see it with what I'm giving you, and that is I'm giving you faith to bring it to pass. So sometimes you may not understand why I act a certain way. Because if you judge based on what you see, you won't understand why I do. Sometimes there's a boundary set that we as a group need to cross, but only 40 of us have gone over the boundary. Amen? And then we got to bring everybody else over the boundary. Amen? So sometimes you don't want to go over the boundary. You're comfortable where you are, but we're trying to drag you over the boundaries. You understand what I'm saying? Because why? Because God has already spoken, and our faith requires us to move even when we don't see it. Verse 2. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. Listen close. Listen close. Whenever you're operating in faith, there's going to be a handful of people that are in front of everybody else. By faith, the elders, the ones that were out front, they obtained a good testimony. We said, wow, look at them going. But it wasn't them. They're trying to bring you. They're trying to bring you across. The elders have already stepped across. Now they're trying to bring everybody else. Listen close. That's why Moses was required to go to the wilderness before everybody else came out. He had to go to the wilderness and see the wilderness, then come back and take everybody who hadn't seen it yet and take them into the promised land. Sometimes you got to be taken places where nobody else has seen so that God can then use you to bring people out into the land. Bring you into the promise. Bring you out somewhere. Next verse. By faith, listen, look close, look close. By faith, we understand. Faith gives you understanding. Faith will cause you to understand things that you haven't even seen yet. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? By the Word of God. The worlds, the stuff you're living in, the air you're breathing, it was formed by faith of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Tell your neighbor, say, you were made from invisible stuff. Meditate on that and you'll understand what I'm talking about. You were made from invisible stuff. Nobody saw you come together. Nobody saw you being formed. Nobody saw the egg that you was existing in before. Nobody saw it become fertilized and start to grow. Ain't nobody saw that. Nobody saw it. But you was in there. And you was in there growing. And you was getting ready for the world up in there, right? Everything follows the same pattern. Everything follows the same pattern. Anything you see has to be made from stuff that's not seen. Everything. Everything. So what God has given you the power of faith to start making stuff before it's seen. The ability to start making stuff before it's seen. And the only boundary you have is the issues of life. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? That's the only thing that will stop you. All right, last thing here. Let's skip over to verse, six. But without faith, it is impossible to please him or God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you believe God, stop going to God with your problems. Start going to God with the answers. He rewards those that diligently seek him. Now, that doesn't mean you can't take your issues to God. That's not what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean you shouldn't go to God and confess things and say to God. But once you've said it, don't sit there waiting for the answer. Go to the Word and say, Lord, I thank you that your Word says. I thank you that your Word says you've turned my mourning into dancing. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord. And start to declare the Word. And start to give God back his Word and let him begin to give his Word back to you. I thank you, Lord, that your Word says my gifts will make room for me. So I thank you right now that my gift is making room. I thank you my gift is making space. So I'm preparing my gift so that it's ready. That when it's time, it's going to be presented in a way that's going to make space for me in the name of Jesus. I thank you that my gift is going to make a space for me. Therefore, I will not fret or have anxiety about anything. Verse 17, and we're going to close with this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And when he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, which from also he received him in a figurative sense. Abraham was so confident in God. Abraham was so audacious with God that Abraham had the nerve after waiting for a promise. Finally gets his promise from God, gets his promised child from God. But by now, his faith is so strong that when God says, offer him up, he doesn't hesitate. He takes him right there to offer him up, knowing that if God's going to take him, God's going to raise him back up again. See, your early struggles are going to build later faith. Your early struggles are going to build a faith in you. When you go through things and you overcome, you're going to get more and more audacious. You're going to get more nerve. You're going to get more strength, more ability to say, I know God is working for my good. I know God is doing things on my behalf. I'm willing to do whatever God says because I know that he's working on my behalf. My confidence in God is so great, Lord, that I'm not trusting even in my own ability. I'm trusting you so deep that you got me. You got me. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, I got audacity. And tell your other neighbor, say, I'm tearing down my boundaries with the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand on your feet, please. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah.